The following message was preached at Faith Baptist Church in Everett, Washington. We pray that it will be a blessing to you. If you would like more information about our church, please visit us online at www.fbceverett.com. Now for the message.
All right, good morning. Let's take our Bibles and go to Genesis chapter 6. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 13 this morning. That's Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. Boy, on this Father's Day, it's so good to look at the Bible and see what makes up a successful father. You know, if you were to make a list of great Bible fathers, you would certainly include men like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You might include Solomon, who wrote the Proverbs for his sons. You might include Joseph, the husband of Mary, who raised Jesus as his own son and provided him with a godly home. There may be others that you would put in that list of great dads of the Bible. However, most of us would not include the man who's the subject of the text before us today, a man by the name of Noah. When men think of Noah, they often remember his work on the ark, and they see that as his greatest achievement. Many would question his successfulness as a dad because of some of the failures that occurred later in his life. People remember when Noah got drunk. They remember the business with his son, grandson Canaan, and Canaan's father Ham. But think about this. Noah's greatest success as a father was in the fact that he saw every member of his family saved. What greater accomplishment in life could there possibly be? Now we look at men like Noah and say, well, of course he was a success. After all, he was Noah. But did you ever stop to think that he had to get across some of the same hurdles that we as fathers face today? Think about it. Number one, he raised his family during a time of extreme wickedness. Let's go ahead and read our text this morning, Genesis chapter 6 and verses 1 through 13. The Bible says in here, in this passage, it says, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both men and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth." There's four things that we see Noah dealing with in this time in raising his family. Number one, in verse 5, we see that he raised his family during a time of extreme wickedness. Number two, he raised his family during a time of extreme violence. Sound familiar? Number three, he raised his family during a time when God and his ways were being ignored, in verse 12. And then in verse 17, we see that he raised his family against the backdrop of the impending judgment of God. Here we see God telling Noah, "And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die." Noah raised his family during a very difficult time. Yet, in spite of all this, Noah made certain achievements that I believe identify him as a successful father. And I'm interested in this because I want to be a successful dad. And I'm sure every dad in this church today wants to be successful as well. Now, whether you're a father or not, there's a word for you as well. Because in reality, these achievements mark Noah as a successful father, but should also be true in the lives of every believer in God's family. You see, whether or not you're a dad, you have an influence in someone's life. If you're a grandmother or a mother or an aunt or an uncle or a brother or a sister, you know what? We can also be an influence, a positive influence in the lives of others. So let's allow the Lord to speak to our hearts today as we look at the achievements of a successful father. Let's pray. Father, thank you for bringing us together this morning. What a blessing to gather together, to study your word, to sing praises to your holy name. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would empower this message. Use it in our hearts and in our lives. Speak to us, Lord. And may we have the heart of worship that you desire from us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's three things I'd like to look at this morning in considering the achievements of a successful father. Number one, in verses 8 and 9, we see that Noah walked with God. Noah was a man of God. He walked with the Lord. And the first thing that we see is that Noah was a converted man. And look in verse 8. The Bible says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Now these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. There's two words in this passage that give clue to where Noah stood with God. The first word is grace. Grace is simply the unmerited love and favor of God for sinners. Grace shows us our sins and provides us with the faith to turn to God for salvation. The word just is the second word. It refers to our standing before God. To be just simply means to be right with God, to be right in His sight. This is the result. Being just, being right with God, is the result of responding to God's grace by exercising faith in God and His provision for sin. Isn't that the message of the gospel? Think of Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It says, "For by grace, through God's grace, are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The grace of God is what shows us our condition as sinners. It's God's grace that gave us the Word of God, gave us those Ten Commandments, has written the law of God in our hearts to be our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It is grace that points us to the remedy for our sins. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. His death upon the cross. If you look in Acts chapter 16 and verse number 31, Acts 16, verse number 31, the Bible says here in Acts 16, 31, it says, "And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved and thy house." Grace makes the cross and the empty tomb real. It is grace that provides us with faith to believe. And when that faith is placed in Christ alone, the sinner is saved and justified before God, made right with God. You know, Dad, anybody else, the greatest gift you can give your family is for them to know that you are saved by grace and headed to heaven. That is a legacy that can never be tarnished or taken away from them. A legacy of a home, of a family, of a father who has put their faith in Christ. Noah had a legacy. It was a legacy of salvation. And I plead with you this morning, come to know Jesus. More than anything else, you're attending church, you're reading your Bible, you need to come to believing and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we look at Noah walking with God, we see, number one, that Noah was a converted man. But number two, we see Noah was a consecrated man. The Bible says this about Noah in verse number 9. It says, "Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations." The Bible says that Noah was perfect. That word simply means upright. It carries the idea that not only did Noah have a relationship and claim a relationship with God, but he lived out a relationship with the Lord as well. You know, it's one thing to talk about how that you're saved and you love the Lord. It's quite another to live it. We got a lot of Christians today, really all they're nothing more than Sunday go-to-meeting Christians. Let me remind you, there's folks watching you. You say, "Pastor, it's not right to judge." How dare you judge my salvation? You know, the Bible tells me that by their fruits ye shall know them. What kind of Christian are you? Are you a Christian that just claims to be saved? Are you a Christian that's living your Christian life every day? You've got fellowship with God. Your relationship with God is real. You know, it may not be right to judge others, but you're going to be judged. You're going to be tried and convicted in the hearts of those who see the life that you really live. Your family, your children, your wife, your relatives, your co-workers, they see what kind of Christian you are. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 16, God sets a pretty high standard for us as Christians. You know, the world is, and worldly Christians try to lower that standard. But in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 16, the Bible says, because it is written what? Be ye holy, for I am holy. We are called to be holy like God is holy. That's a high standard, folks. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Our lives, as it says here in verse 9, should show forth and glorify God, the praises of Him who hath called us from darkness into His marvelous light. Is that you this morning? Is it you? Does your life reflect a relationship with God, a holy life, a life that is real? You want to destroy your family? Be a Pharisee. Be a hypocrite. Act one way at church and another at home. Noah was a consecrated man. Number three, Noah was a consistent man. You know, the Bible tells us, if you go back to our text in Genesis chapter 6, the Bible tells us that Noah walked with God. You know, the idea here, I believe, and what I want to bring out, is of a consistent walk. You know, Noah wasn't up and down, cold and hot, in and out. He just walked with God every day. I'm sure there's days, like all of us, boy, Noah felt better about things than he did on others. But when it averaged out, he walked consistently with God. Christian, what kind of walk do you have this morning? What kind of walk do you have? Listen, just be faithful to God. Don't look for the next big thing and, man, emotionally get worked up. Just be faithful. Be faithful to read your Bible. Be faithful to pray. Be faithful to witness. Be faithful to God's house. Be faithful to love your family, to love God. You know, a consistent walk before God is a walk that others will want to emulate. Are you walking with God this morning? One of the greatest accomplishments that you can do is just to walk with the Lord. Have a relationship with God. So we see number one in this achievements of Noah. By His God's grace, he walked with God. Number two, Noah witnessed to others. We're going to depart from our text and just go to a supporting passage this morning. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5. That's 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5. The Bible says here, of Noah, and if I can get to the right passage here, I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, says of Noah, it says, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, and notice what it says, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in flood upon the world of the ungodly. The Bible calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. This means that while Noah was building the ark, he just wasn't wrapped up in building the ark. He was telling a lost world that the end was coming. He was telling them that there was a way of escape, that there was a way to escape God's judgment. You want to look at three ways that Noah witnessed. Number one, Noah witnessed through his conduct. Look at what the Bible says about the people around Noah. If we go back to Genesis chapter 6, in verse number 5, the Bible says of the people, the society, it says that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Boy, this was a wicked time. In verses 12 through 13, it says, God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way on the earth. Verse 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Wicked, wicked time. But look what the Bible says about Noah in verse 9. Again, it says, Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. He was so different than all the folks around him that his very life was a living, breathing witness to every soul that saw him. Noah stuck out in this world like a sore thumb. This is lifestyle evangelism. You know, this, it's not as popular as it once was, but people used to talk about this lifestyle evangelism, that we got to get down in with the world and become just like them to reach them. We got to go into the bars and we got to drink the Budweisers and the liquor and we got to smoke the drugs and the cigarettes and we got to go out to the beach and be naked and we got to party with the world. We got to have the music of the world to reach them. No, what I tell you is that we have to have a lifestyle that is radically different from the world to reach them. You say, Pastor, you're just old-fashioned. You're just different. You just don't understand what it takes to reach people in today's world. You know what? I may not understand, but God does. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. The Bible says this. If you would, read with me. What does Jesus expect of us? He says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of man. Ye are the light of the world. Listen, if we're the salt of the world, if we lose our savor, if we're not salty, how are we going to make a difference? It says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. It says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Jesus wants us to live a radical lifestyle. He wants us to be salt. He wants us to be light. Are you? Are you different? You ought to be. The Bible says that we're a peculiar people. In Matthew chapter 16, and verse number 24, let me read you this scripture real quick. Matthew 16, and verse number 24, the Bible says this. Jesus says of his disciples, he says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We need to follow Jesus. That's the kind of lifestyle evangelism we need to do. Noah was that kind of man. He witnessed through his conduct. Number two, Noah witnessed through his conversation. It was more than just lifestyle to Noah. He opened his mouth, told others of what the Lord is about to do. He was a preacher of righteousness. You know, we need to live out our faith, but we better be in the business of speaking about our faith to others. We need to share our faith with a lost world. In Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, Jesus commissioned his disciples. He says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. When they call you to court as a witness, you don't just get to sit there. You got to go up on the stand and tell folks what you seen and what you heard and what happened. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to witness for Him in the court of life. Tell people what happened to us the day we got saved. How Jesus saved us from sin, saved us from hell. And your children and others look up to you. They ought to see that you care enough about the lost to tell them about salvation through Jesus. Are you witnessing this morning? What's the last time you talked to someone about Jesus? Lost, there's a city of 105,000 people around us this morning. That doesn't include Marysville and Linwood. And only a few Bible-preaching churches. Only a few churches and Christians who really love the Lord and want to tell others. Let's be that church. Witness through your conduct. Witness through your conversation. We see Noah witness through his commitment. This really gets me excited and encourages me. You know how many years Noah worked on the ark and preached righteousness? 120 years. 120 years. And after all of that, the only converts that he had were members of his own family. I can imagine there was days that Noah just got discouraged, frustrated. But you know what? Noah stayed the course. He maintained his commitment to the Lord. What a great testimony. You know, I get discouraged. I've been here 4 years. Boy, it seems like at times that, boy, it's difficult. No one wants to hear it. No one wants to be faithful at times. There's only a few faithful. You know what? We just need to stay the course. I'll tell you, one of the greatest proofs of our testimony for God is our consistent commitment to live for God in spite of what others are doing. There's going to be times when living for Jesus isn't going to be easy, fun, popular. But if you'll stick with the Lord, if you'll be faithful to live for Him in your witnessing, in your life, you will win the respect and admiration of those watching. There's a payday at the end of the way. Galatians 6:9, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know, the Bible does tell us that a commitment, a steady commitment, silences the critics. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 15, you say, Pastor, boy, every time I try to live for Jesus, there's all kinds of folks all around me criticizing me. It says, for so is the will of God, 1 Peter 2:15, that with well-doing, what? You may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Live for Jesus. Number three, Noah won his family. In Genesis chapter 7, verses 1 through 2, you know, Noah was a successful father because he walked with God and he witnessed to others. But his greatest achievement was this, he won his family. Notice what we can learn about winning our families to the Lord. In Genesis chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, we see this. Number one, Noah won their respect. You know, God only spoke to Noah. It doesn't teach us that God came to Noah's sons or his wife. He came to Noah and he spoke to Noah. Yet when it came time to enter the ark, his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, they followed Noah. Why? I think the answer is this. They believed in what Noah believed in because they believed in Noah. They saw his consistent testimony, his consistent witness. They knew that his walk with God was the real deal. They respected him for the man he was. Hey, if there's anything you can do for your family, live for God. Be faithful. They'll respect you for it. You say, Pastor, I've got children that are straying from the Lord. I've got older children and grandchildren that don't love God. You know what you can do for them? Of course, pray for them. But live for God. That's the greatest thing you can do for them. Give them something to come back to. Give them a mom or a dad that is faithful, that they know is right with God. Contrast this with Lot and his family. Oh, how sad that was. Here Lot is. He's in Sodom. He's compromised. He's done what he wanted to do. And then the angels of God come and warn him of the impending judgment. And Lot, he believes them and he goes and he warns his sons-in-law. He warns his family and they laugh at him. Why? Because he didn't have a walk with God. He was a compromiser. He was a hypocrite. Even when he did get his wife and his two younger daughters to go with him, his wife, she couldn't bear to leave Sodom, so she turns and she looks. And what happens? God turns her into a pillar of salt. And we know the rest of the story, how sad it is. Noah won their respect. He won his family. Because he won their respect, he won their response. Genesis 7:7, the Bible says this. It says, and Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood. They followed Noah into the ark. When the rains fell and the rest of the world perished, they were saved. You know what? I would submit to you that this is the greatest accomplishment of the life of Noah. He saw his children saved from the judgment of God. I'm convinced, listen, I have four young children. And our church, it may never grow to be a great mega church with hundreds and thousands of people attending. It might just stay 30 or 40 folks for the rest of the time that I'm here. But if I can win my children to Christ, it'd be worth it all. You know, once all said and done, your children follow your faith? I know that they have a decision that they have to make, but I also know that they oftentimes base what they do, what they see in your life. Determine in your heart today to see your family into the ark of God's salvation. Live a life that they can respect, that they can say, my dad is a real Christian. There's enough. Our children have their bellies full of hypocrisy and the facade. Hey, you may not leave your family a single dime of inheritance. You may not leave them an inch of property. But if you'll pass down your faith to them, that's the greatest inheritance that you can give them. The marks of a successful Christian, a successful dad, Noah walked with God, Noah witnessed to others through his conduct, his conversation, his commitment. And Noah won his family through their respect and their response. He walked with God. He witnessed to others. He won his family. Look at yourself this morning. I want to ask you a couple questions. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus, and are you in relationship with the Lord? If you are, you live in a consistent, consecrated life before those who are watching you? Are you sharing your witness with others? And is your family in the ark? Are they following you in faith? I believe the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I tell you, if you need to do business with the Lord this morning, now is the time, dads. Now is the time, grandmas. Now is the time, aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters. It's time to get real. It's time to model our lives after the Lord. Look at Noah. Decide, you know what? I'm going to walk, witness, and win. Let's pray.